Welcome to Worst Year Ever, a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
Hello.
It's like we haven't done
Brian's
this year.
Colleagues,
to the
enemies,
dome.
Foes,
frenemies,
phonemies, ghost of Pol Pot, potentially.
And it's maybe
always
just
possible.
Ghosts.
Friend of the pod.
You never know.
Friend of the Pol Pod.
Friend of the pod.
Surely there's a Pol Pot out there, right?
So. We're going to do more Ben Shapiro stuff because, my God, it's hard getting back into the working thing. But we should probably talk a little bit about Ghislaine Maxwell, huh?
Is that where we're landing on and how her name is pronounced?
Some shit hit.
I refuse to learn how to pronounce her name.
Ghislaine.
Garland. Like
Darlin. I'm not mistaken,
Maxwell.
I was on fucking Harmontown, Jeff May, who used to be friends with her, called her Ghislaine. Hey, Robert Evans here. Embarrassing mistake. I said Jeff May was the co-host of Harmontown who related a story about having known Ghislaine from some social events. That was the wrong person. Jeff Davis was the co-host of Harmontown. Jeff May is a wonderful comedian and podcaster who I have known for a while and is a very funny person. You can find him on Twitter at HeyThereJeffro, J-E-F-F-R-O, on Twitter. Apologies to Jeff May. I was referring to Jeff Davis.
Excuse me, but Jeff May used to be friends with her?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, just like they
you
went
just
to like
eased over the most important part.
Yeah, no, he talked about like, yeah, she was like a socialite, she was often at these parties. She was like there's no record of him on any of Epstein's
parties?
Planes. They were like big Hollywood parties.
Oh.
Like I don't know. He's not on any of the flight manifests or anything. I've never heard any allegations. It was just like she was somebody that he knew at, like, these big Hollywood soirees. She was at all of them. She was a big socialite person. I think he called it Ghislaine. I don't know. It doesn't matter. She's a horrible person. Fuck her. I don't care about her name. I think people are getting all excited that she's going to roll on a bunch of people, and I don't think anything particularly interesting is going to happen there.
No, I
don't
either.
Isn't to say that she couldn't roll on people. I just don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't either. That's not what my gut instinct tells me about the situation.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, she's going to go to prison, and that's good, because she did monstrous things. It seems like there are a lot of very powerful people on both sides, which sort of indicates that probably nothing will come of it.
Yeah. It's also like from a practical standpoint, do I think that she has damning information on a lot of powerful people? Oh, for fucking sure. Do I think that the most reasonable thing she could do to protect herself is roll on them? No, absolutely not. Like, that's not how people that
I don't think that it improves her circumstances.
No, that's not how our system works. I don't think that's likely to happen.
It would
like,
just be about, not, it would
she's
be about
certainly
like
not ratting out Bill Clinton. Like, yeah. You know, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there will be some stuff that comes out, and I'm glad. I hope the more of these people that get exposed, the better. And it does look like some of the court cases against Prince Andrew are going to be moving forward.
That does look like it's going to move forward, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's good. That's
exciting.
Great.
It's just, I'm
not trying to say, like, it's pointless to do this. I just don't think she's going to come up with some damning list that, like, destroys the ruling class in America for their
sins.
Well,
no, I think, like, the consequences won't be, like, oh, all these monsters are in jail now. The consequences are going to be, oh, a lot of people know that these people are monsters now.
Yeah,
like the information and like the names and the people we know, like all these people are in his little black book and is on the plane, this sort of thing. She's a convicted like sex trafficker. We know who's involved, but they won't face consequences probably, unfortunately.
But I think everybody's just like, but what if it could happen?
But
what if it could? Because that would
that's
be tight.
Like, that's like,
but, yeah.
The,
I think it's probably pretty unlikely that we actually.
Yeah, no. But what if we could?
I think it's the allure.
That's Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Everyone
Katie.
Knows.
Yeah, and I think what's exactly. I think it's unlikely that we will learn about any new names. I don't think she's going to give us any names. I don't think any information she gives us is going to be in either make the case against the people we know were involved with Epstein more damning, right, or will add people to it. Like, I just think that's unlikely because, for one thing, we already have a pretty good idea of the people he was, like, supplying, so to speak, and the people who were to some degree complicit.
He has a whole black book.
We have a pretty good idea.
It's been documented.
And I just doubt she had a lot of information other than on the specifics of some acts. But in terms of like the shit that's likely to come out, I just don't know that she has that much that there's any real chance of her revealing. So that's where I am on it. I'm glad she got convicted. I'm glad Elizabeth Holmes got convicted.
Yeah, I was going to say, other female conviction news this week, Elizabeth Holmes.
Yeah.
But that one's a little, I mean, again, good, convicted, but not convicted all the things that she really should have been convicted.
No, I mean, I don't know about that. I think there's one of the things like people are complaining about is she got convicted of defrauding investors, but not patients. And they're being like, see, this is the system we live in. It's not a crime to defraud patients. Well, it didn't get to the point where there were a lot of patients to defraud. Like they never served that many people. I kind of get why that's a harder conviction to make because Theranos didn't make it that far. Like there were definitely
but
some individuals.
Some people were.
There were some,
that to me is enough. But I hear what you're saying. I understand the reason why, but to me it's not enough.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see. I think that she's got four convictions against her, each of which they're likely to be served concurrently, but each of which has like a maximum of 20 years. I think there's actually a pretty good odds that she'll do some serious time. To the extent that her doing time will make anything better, I think she's gonna.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine, I guess.
Oh, well, we talked about some news there.
We did talk about some news. That's all that's going on in the world. Oh, and Kazakhstan looks like it's on the verge of a revolution.
Yeah, it does.
Spurred on by increases in gas prices. People are now swarming military convoys and flipping police cars. Some real crazy-ass footage coming out of
Kazakhstan.
This
isn't something for us to brush over. Give me more information.
it's very quickly developing at this moment. But yeah, like they're austerity protests. You know, a lot of the massive wave of protests in 2018-19 were spurred on by similar kinds of things. And the government, which is very authoritarian in Kazakhstan, sent in the military and people started taking to the streets in significant numbers. There's folks in the capital setting up tents now. Some people are talking it might be a situation like the Maidan in Ukraine in 2014. But there's like some nuts videos of like mobs like forcing back military convoys and shit and people in cars like blocking them on the road in the middle of like in high speed chases and shit. Yeah. Like there's some really outrageous stuff dropping. The situation will have like, advanced probably significantly by the time you hear this. Right. So my advice would be to like just kind of Google Kazakhstan protests and see where things are when this drops.
The footage is incredible that I'm seeing online.
But the footage is wild. Yeah. And it all started, at least in terms of it's been going on. This has been building obviously for a little while, but it all kind of started breaking into the international news to like within an hour or so of us recording this. So it's still developing pretty rapidly.
Very fresh.
Well, I'll definitely be checking that out later today. Mm-hmm.
Pretty dope. You know what else is dope?
Not really.
Hero's short story.
He's a dope.
Yeah, okay.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go. Mm-hmm. Perfect pivot.
Cody?
All right. Cody, that's all I can do, man.
Maybe we should do a little refresher real quick.
Where are we?
Story 2. It's the sci-fi
one. Our adventure began!
Okay.
It's a story about a guy. He's tiny. He's shrunk down to be tiny, and he's living for many months in this businessman's office.
Forgot that
office.
He was tiny.
His mission is to kill dust mites because a rich businessman hates dirty things, but he likes smokes and is a gross man. But he doesn't like dust mites, so our hero is destroying the dust mites. Unfortunately, the businessman, aka the whale, swallowed him. And so now he's in the whale's stomach.
I love that Ben Shapiro is such a is such the guy he is, that like every story's gotta have some kind of vaguely biblical like leaning to it, but also it doesn't make any sense. Like there's no through line. There's no like narrative or like moral through line to draw between the biblical story of Jonah and the whale and a guy volunteering to be shrunk to kill dust mites getting swallowed by a rich man. Like it's nonsense.
How did he end up getting swallowed again?
Oh, it's because of the quality of the writing. It's not the clearest thing in the world.
Yeah,
he's on a cigarette at one point, right?
Yeah, I straight up cannot answer your question.
Cigarette.
He's, he's on a cigarette or something, and he was hiding from the mites, which we also learned don't actually nicotine. So they would be actually, if it were accurate, avoiding the cigarettes.
That's right.
But yeah, he's on a cigarette.
That is such a funny coincidence that the thing that he chooses
the
is
premise
just wrong. Like anything else, he could have just chosen anything else.
Well, it's like inconsistent in a lot of ways because like, okay, so he's like a clean freak, right? And he's trying to be like clean and healthy, but he smokes. Also, the mites wouldn't eat the cigarette. Like it's wrong in many ways, which I think is beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do love that, like, again, we're also going through Ben's incredible book about sex on Behind the Bastards with Sophia Alexandra, it's everything that Ben could be wrong about, he is wrong about. And it's the same with this. Like, he decides that there are dust mites on tobacco, and the reality is that, like, in the wild, birds will eat cigarette butts to keep dust mites off them. Like, it's just everything he could be wrong about. If Ben Shapiro makes a factual statement, it's going to be wrong.
He goes out of his way
to be wrong. It's incredible. I've never seen anything like it. We all make mistakes, right? Everybody's wrong, especially if you're commenting on a daily basis to some extent, but like if Ben makes a factual statement, it will be as wrong as it can be. It's like
I think
a perfect
it's his
rule.
Karmic destiny.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's truly, it's incredible. You just know. It's like it's weirdly like he's perfectly Trumpy. It's very like in that way. He's also got a tweet for everything in the same way, where it's like if he's saying something that he's against now, just look 5 years ago. Just glance. Just like do some keywords. Mm-hmm.
Let's get back into the saddle, you know, back in the high life again. All the Ben Shapiro stories that saw me once will smile and take us in or something like that. You know the song, Cody.
We all know the song.
We all know the song.
Everybody's inside back the whale.
Oh, wait. Okay.
I was doing it. Sure. For the musical that we're gonna do of this book of short stories,
yeah, Ben Shapiro the musical.
God, so unpleasant. Okay, look, all right. So the whale, which again has nothing really to do with the Bible, although it's funny that like they called him that before he swallowed him. Like, anyway, I haven't prayed since I was. This is a recap. This is the last paragraph we read. Just to
get everybody back.
Sprinkle some memories on your brains. Mm-hmm. I haven't prayed since I was a child. I don't believe in God. Ooh. Mm-hmm. No God would play the cosmic joke of letting the whale fall into so much wealth, then curse him with an obsessive compulsive dislike of dust mites so strong that he'd spend half that wealth developing the shrinking system and hiring duds like me to man it. It's all too absurd. Ooh. That is not an argument against God.
No, it's not an argument. It's not even an argument against the whale because, like, yeah, maybe this, I could see like some neurotic rich person having this obsession, but if it leads to perfect shrinking technology, that would certainly be worth more than he paid for it.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
The military applications alone would net him billions. Like that's what, like if you actually developed that, it doesn't matter how ridiculous your reasons were,
great
you
point,
could make
Robert,
a fortune.
Right. Like, and it will even says like, it's not a cosmic joke. It's not the use of that phrase, but like
it actually
like,
sounds like the thing that happens all the time, which is like people with weird focuses and obsessions develop things that change the world.
Right. So like
that's
and like
progress,
and like so
I think
like he's so curse him with so much wealth, And then he'd spent half that wealth developing, again, to your point, shrinking technology.
Yeah.
Which would
imagine
cost
just the
so
effect,
much
just
money.
The impact on like treatment of cancers. If you could just like, let's just shrink the tumor.
Shrink,
you know?
Shrink it, yeah. Now it's an atom. Yeah,
really now it's an atom. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, like, I mean, honestly, investing only half of your wealth into that seems great. Like,
seems like an incredible return on investment.
Half of it left. It's fine.
Yeah, it seems like this guy changed the entire world and also probably saved his own life if he has a tumor. But I bet Ben's not going to explain why the shrinking technology can perfectly shrink a person.
He won't explore
that.
That.
Not anything else, yeah.
No.
Yeah, if anything, it's a cosmic joke on the main character who fucking decided to take this job. Whatever, it's fine. It's all
this,
too absurd.
This
is
unbelievably stupid job. Because, again, you're positing that there's a guy who's obsessed and terrified with the idea of dust mites.
Also, apparently
which you
dust
can't...
mites are vicious.
Yeah, and that they're vicious. But, like, he's this rich guy is terrified of dust mites, which cannot be seen, but is fine with little men shitting all over his house, which they must
right.
be doing. Right?
With relieving
much more shit,
themselves
much more shit
whenever.
Than dust mites.
Much more shit than, and worse shit, more toxic shit. We live with dust mite shit. It's clearly not a problem for anyone's health.
For any person.
But human shit is pretty bad for people to just have in their life. I think even if it's microscopic, it might cause a problem.
He's like shit on your cigarettes and stuff. You're smoking that stuff,
I mean,
man.
It would cause more of a problem because you can't see it.
Yeah.
You know,
like,
so you don't know to like not put your hand in it.
I feel like there's a lot of potential health problems with this.
We haven't even read a new sentence yet.
Yeah,
shall
Cody,
we continue?
Let's roll.
The important thing is though that his mouth and lungs are filled with ash, despite that not being how cigarettes work.
And all also, right. yeah, okay, yeah.
moving on. New sentence. Mm-hmm. But I'm praying nonetheless now. Ooh, wow, God fearing man. Just listen to me. I whisper to the whale. Ooh. False idols, then. He can't hear me, but somewhere beneath those layers of fat, he's got to have a heart. He certainly has a stomach. All right.
What?
Like an answer to my prayers, though, the beacon clicks on again. Jensen, I shout. Jensen! There's no answer, but the beacon's transmitting. I hear the beacon, too many beacons. I hear the beacon bumping around Jensen's pocket. And then, from outside the whale, I hear the thump of a door opening. And from the beacon... the voices emerge. The thump of a door opening.
That's not how doors sound.
Thump. Thump.
The creak.
Mm-hmm.
What? All right. And from the beacon, the voice emerges. Jensen stammering. Sir, I have something I need to know. The whale, cool and collected, replies. So tell me. Right? All right. Do you remember Kemp, one of the aunties? No, says the whale. Why would I? I hire thousands of aunties a year. He has thousands of these little guys running around him. That's too many. All right. Well, this one is in your stomach right now. What a casual conversation. I feel the halo jostle jarringly. I feel the
jostle
halo.
Jostle jarringly.
You know he wrote that, and he was like, ooh, that's good.
He was really happy with that, really pleased with himself. Ugh, all right. Mm-hmm. I feel the halo jostle jarringly upward as the whale stands. Are you insane? He says. Then he would know. I know, says Jensen, but he says he'll never tell. He says he just wants to get back to his wife. The whale is silent. He sits again, heavily, and the halo bumps against the top of his stomach. His grumbling baritone makes my whole body rumble. No. Jensen protests. He wouldn't lie to me, sir. I've known Kemp for a decade. Have you known Kemp in a situation like this, where a fortune...
What is he... wait a second. Where does he know him for a decade? Like, what is this? This guy's been here 2 years. Yeah. Does he have a previous... anyway?
8 years of training, right?
8 years of training? What?
Sure, why not? I don't know.
He's just making that up. That's not a detail.
Why not?
Yeah, it's just bad, writing.
It's like, bad writing.
Again, a single line earlier where he was like, I'd worked for the whale for years, you know, before the opportunity came up and I decided to get out of accounting or whatever.
My friend came to me with this. He's known the guy for 10 years.
Yeah,
maybe it's
a friend.
My friend gave me the,
A single sentence would make it not distracting, but
And here we are.
This single sentence is very distracting.
Yeah.
Have you known Kemp in a situation like this where a fortune could be at stake? Says the whale. his voice dangerously even. Oh, I'm sorry. I misread that then.
Dangerously even. Okay.
Yeah, dangerously even. Yeah, it's very, you know, it's simmering. It's a simmered, calm, destructive voice. No, says Jensen. I shout into the beacon. I promise. I swear to God. I don't give a damn about the money. But nobody hears me. So how much time
how
do we have?
Okay, yeah.
I mean, you know, he's in his stomach.
Obviously, yeah. I don't.
The beacon's broken, but he can hear the other one.
Yeah.
How much time do we have? The whale asks. He's due to begin his reversal process tonight. Formatting error. Perfect. we must act quickly. Call the doctor. You know the one. He treated Shangri and Crystal. Crystal with a CH. Interesting.
Okay. Yeah.
Jensen swallows. I can hear it all the way across the room, not even through the beacon. All right. Sir, he says, that would be pure murder. Yes, says the whale. But it's my body.
Oh, yes, God.
We found
oh,
it.
My
we
God.
Got there.
Oh, my God. Yes. Are you fucking shitting me? It's an abortion animal.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
this
is
oh, my
so
God.
Oh, gross.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is, guys.
That's
there it
good.
Is.
That's
tasty.
Good. Oh, fuck. That's funny. Oh, my God.
All right, so I'm going to finish this thing that the whale says, and then we're going to have to go to a break.
My entire insides are cringing.
That's awesome. I'm so happy. I'm so proud.
Yes,
all right,
says
the
whale,
sentence.
But it's my body, and what's in it is my purview. That's the law. Look it up. But look it up after you call the doctor.
I am certain that the law does not have any sort of,
I don't think they made a law for this, man.
Roe v. Wade does not apply to hiring a man to shrink himself down and then swallowing him.
And then swallowing
him. I think literally any conceivable Supreme Court would not extend Roe v. Wade to that.
There's not a world where this stands up in court.
Yeah. Like,
we need to take a break.
Okay.
Oh, God. All right.
But we're going to be right fucking back.
We better be.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
We're back. And before we get back into this, I want to ask, from a moral standpoint, where do you all stand on hiring people to be shrunk down in your body? Do you have the right to kill people that you pay to be shrunk and then swallow in order
no,
to?
No, I don't believe is, that idea. Right?
That,
I think
that
they
so. You're right?
they understand the liabilities, I guess. But no, I don't get to then kill them because that's not
something
they signed up for.
You know, perhaps they
I don't
did,
know that they. Yeah, but that's
paper.
I don't even think that's one of the liabilities he signed up for, right?
No,
no,
exactly.
One else has been swallowed.
Right.
Yeah.
This is a new thing. So no, this does not count. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, I just don't think this is covered by pro-choice. Or to be fair, anti-choice. I actually don't think in this specific situation your opinion on abortion would ever matter. I don't even think it would break. I don't even think there would be an argument from like the religious right versus progressives on your ability on whether or not you can do this. It just doesn't seem to apply.
This is an unrelated scenario.
Yeah.
Being tied.
I'm dying to know what happens next, though.
All right. Aren't we all? From outside the whale, I hear screaming. The screams of an unborn child. It's not what he says. Just like, Daniel, cut that.
No.
All right. From outside the whale, I hear screaming. It takes me a moment to realize I'm hearing my own screaming from that damn beacon. Damning Jensen to hell, the whale to hell. Then the screaming goes silent. They turned the beacon off.
Oh, that's
and that's
cool.
The end of that. That's the end of that section.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, this guy's fucked.
There is, I will
he's
say,
he's gonna get aborted so bad.
He is gonna get aborted soon. And Ben thinks it's great. I will say, there's way too much left of this story.
We're not gonna finish it today.
I don't think so. But incredible. I break the beacon with my bare hands. They can't know where I am precisely in the stomach. No reason to make their task easier. That's silly. I have three options as I see it. One is unthinkable. Then it's not an option. One is unthinkable. Drop from the roof of my prison and risk the intestinal tract, the colon, and all the rest. That's not a good idea. All the rest. After the colon? What's that? Freedom? Okay. There's no guarantee that if I drop, I'll be better off. What if I make it all the way to the end of the track, then get flushed down the toilet? The thought of it almost makes me laugh. This is the stuff of low comedy, and now it might be my choice of death. Okay. My second choice is to take the pill. Ooh, we're getting a little more of this. The pill. Yeah. That's what he's doing.
Is he going to explain
But it's also, it's the pill to make him bigger, right?
Bigger. So he would be killing the guy.
So both of them are abortion?
Both of their choices are analogs to...
Yeah.
Seems to be very consistent and good and well thought out.
Shocking how little sense this makes.
My second choice is to take the pill. The option itself makes me want to vomit, to continue to stay at size, undetectable, to hide from the doctor inside the stomach. But how long can I last? All right. I don't have enough nutrition packets to last more than a few days, and the whale won't forget about me. It will just be a matter of time before he finds me and terminates me. So the pill makes you invisible to them?
I think it keeps you small, maybe.
Keeps you small?
Okay.
Again, should
be
much
clearer. But for how long? All right.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense so far. We're good.
My third option is to allow the reversal to take place as planned, to try to fight off the doctor, to play for time, and then rip this bastard's guts out from the inside out. Too many outs.
That's where he's going to go.
He ended that sentence.
Incredible.
Trim it down a
little bit. Incredible.
New paragraph. It isn't much of a choice. A lot of meaning in that sentence. Formatting error. Or maybe none. Slight formatting error is fine. I check my watch. 2 hours until the reversal begins. I'll need my sleep. New section is about to begin. Robert, you had thoughts about that really good sentence?
No, that seems like a sentence. Legally, I think that's a sentence.
Okay.
So the doctor's coming to start a reversal, but they know that this guy's still in there.
The doctor's coming to kill him.
Oh, okay.
They're going to find him and kill him. The reversal's going to happen. They need to do it in time.
Yeah, the doctor's performing an abortion, but also.
But they need to do it before that reversal happens.
Yeah.
Starting the process is also like an abortion, taking the pill. So
taking the pill stops the process.
Keeps him small.
Okay. And undetectable so that they can't do it. But then he's stuck small for however long.
Only as a couple nutrition packets.
Yeah.
Really should have stocked up on those.
Yeah, pill. Yeah, I should have. Well, it's the amount he needs for the amount of time he's in there. It worked out. He's got a couple left. He's only got a couple hours left. That seems like a good plan. Good system. No notes. The growth begins just as scheduled. The pain rakes my body. The birthing sequence. I can feel each individual fascia linking skin to muscle, expanding, growing. I scream silently into the halo. Thank God they made the halo expandable along with me. It's true. Good luck. Within an hour, I'm twice the size I was before. The stomach is no longer looking quite so vast. The fire behind my eyes makes me want to tear them out. Amy, I remind myself. Amy. New paragraph. Amy,
love you, babe. Mean
comma,
it.
Amy, comma, Amy. Space, dot, dot, dot. So, again,
Amy, a little
formatting.
Amy.
Amy. It's fine. There's something about, I think, this growth that it's describing the pain of it, but also there's a longing you feel like the growth spurt that Ben never had that he writes about constantly for all
his
characters.
Sad.
That every single character has the massive growth spurt that never happened to Ben, which is the worst thing in his life for sure.
It's interesting.
It is interesting.
I wonder if that's his central motivation and all the art he creates.
Interesting. Just flagging that, just putting a little pin in that. Because there's a third short story, and God willing, somebody grows. September 22.
All of the stories do include a man getting big.
It does.
Every single story.
Always a detail.
So far, we have read pieces of one novel and two short stories, and all of them include as a central plot point a man getting big. That is very funny. That's very funny.
Just throwing it out there. Just something out there in the ether.
Mm-hmm.
For maybe if he's working on a novel and listening to this, maybe cut that part out that you definitely already wrote. Maybe the part that you're planning on doing where a character grows, maybe don't do it this time.
My guess is his current project is just the novelization of the Tom Hanks movie Big.
One hopes he ruins that story somehow.
Perfect project. That's
just like so many, the word big so many times in every fucking sentence. Like,
he's so big.
It sure is tough being big, he said, bigly. All right.
From his big body.
September 22. 2 days and a wake up. Just 50. Write this differently, man. 2 days and a wake up. Just 52 hours. Period. New paragraph. Of hell. Period. The doctor's here. I can feel the whale laugh. At this point, I can't wait to rip his stomach out, especially as the fiery blood rushes through my veins, growing me too rapidly to adjust. My limbs feel stiff, heavy, ungainly, and every time I try to move them, I find myself thrashing about, flailing. So, thrashing about. Wait, all right. The doctor says something. The whale laughs again. And then his body goes horizontal on his desk. How can you tell? I take a fleeting pleasure in the fact that he's smearing himself with dust mites even as he does it. Yeah, smearing himself with dust mites.
Yeah, which you can't notice because, again, humans are incapable of seeing or feeling them.
He's not really smearing himself with dust
mites.
He's just laying
down. Is not
crushing
smearing.
Dust mites. Probably has like some sort of gown on, too, so it's not.
Yeah.
It's a bad word he chose.
The wrong word.
Yeah,
wrong word.
There are
his only job is to choose. His only job is to choose the right word.
Mm-hmm.
And He did the wrong one. Anyway.
Yeah. There are a few beats on the stomach. There are a few beats on the stomach. The doctor examining the whale, no doubt. Yeah, just like doing a little.
Oh
drumming.
Yeah, you did that in a weird way the first time.
Yeah. There are a few beats on the stomach. The doctor examining the whale, no doubt. And then he sits back up. A little more clear. Still a little weird, but more clear than how I did it.
Give me a description of what it's like when he lays down. I have to hold on to something. I can tell he's laying down because I lose my sense of balance. Whatever it is. He sits up and my blood rushes to my head. Whatever the fuck.
Something about, right, that's the thing. He's describing what's happening outside. He should be describing what's happening in the stomach.
In the stomach.
Because
he doesn't
know. That's his experience. So he's like, this happens.
He's not the narrator looking in saying the man sat up.
Right.
He's inside the fucking belly.
It's being written as though it's like this omniscient sort of voice when like, oh, like, and then jostling around like, oh, the liquid goes sideways. Like, right. Like you would describe what's happening in your space.
I almost get splashed with stomach acid, whatever.
A grand thud. Fills like an atrium in the stomach. Surely he's testing the whale, whatever it is. I don't know.
Also, has this guy been eating? Like, give me a description of what it's like living in there.
You can't
what you're
eat
dealing
before
with.
Surgery. So,
but it's been
yeah,
days.
I mean, but Ben is abiding by, I think, what we can all agree is the most basic rule of fiction writing. Don't tell.
Don't tell it.
Don't. Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
I forgot.
Do neither.
That
do
you're
neither.
Not You're not supposed to
never show. If you have to show, don't tell instead. But never tell either. All right.
Right.
Don't tell.
Right. Shit. I'm sorry.
If you have
I'm
to choose
not
one,
qualified
tell.
To talk about this book. I don't know enough. Go ahead, Cody.
From above. Finally, we're inside the stomach. From above, the liquid comes. All right.
Okay.
Yeah. It's dark and viscous, sticky and thick. It's moving down the walls of the stomach, lining it. Moving, get a better word. Gradually, as I watch in horror, it covers the entire surface of the stomach, staining it dark maroon. A pill, about my size, ricochets through the whale's esophagus. I can hear the hollow plank as it bounces down and then falls into the stomach. Below me, the stomach acid goes to work, tearing off the cover, and from the pill burst hundreds of them. bursts is what it should be, but he said burst. It's fine. Uh-huh. It's not the worst error in this entire book of short stories.
No, although his description of a pill going down someone's esophagus is ricocheting. I don't think that's what pills do. I don't know, Ben. I'm not an expert.
Also, it's
that feels like nonsense. As a pill swallower, that doesn't feel like a good description.
Well, he's like, first of all, Ben, your wife's a doctor. You talk about it all the time. Your esophagus isn't like an open tube that you like dunk like stuff into. Yeah. It constricts.
Yeah, it's bouncing down a sewer drain.
There's videos you can see of, like, how the esophagus works, food down it. It's not a empty hole.
And again,
hole.
Like,
all right.
The most basic writer who cared would have, like, oh, I wonder if I could find, like, an x-ray of a pill going down a throat. Just to,
you
like, help me describe
research.
This a little better.
I
like,
think
again,
just typing it on
the
YouTube.
Minimum. Yeah, the very minimum, you know?
But also, like, just as, like, a human being, this is, like, a child's idea of what, like, the throat is. Like, oh, it's like you have the esophagus, and you toss it down, and it, like, ricochets back and forth.
And it's the kind of thing, like, nobody expects perfect accuracy from any piece of I was just reading a very good Kim Stanley Robinson book called Ministry of the Future, and there's, like, a line in it about the Kumbh Mela, which is a big Indian religious thing, being in Varanasi, and it's like, well, no, actually, it's held in like four different cities. I think Varanasi is one of them, but like the big one is Allahabad, and that was a little like weird to me. But I also like didn't mind it and forgave it because the actual descriptions of what's going on, of like the individual, of like this heat wave hitting India, were so detailed and so biologically accurate that like, yeah, I mean, people are going to get little bits wrong. As a fiction writer, I get like everyone does get little bits wrong. Nobody's expecting perfection. The key as a fiction writer is to do enough, good enough job building out a sense of what's happening, a sense of momentum, a sense of emotional connection, that when, as will inevitably happen, little things are like not quite right, people forgive it because they're still engaged in the narrative, you know? And
it's
Ben,
not distracting and you laser focus on the error.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's... yeah. But... you know,
yeah,
he's trying. It boils down to like the key, like what you're talking about. You're correct in like all the various, like the details of it, but what you're really saying is like the key is to like try.
Yeah, the key is to try. The key is to
a little bit effort.
Yeah, people are willing to forgive a number of things, especially in science fiction that aren't quite accurate at all.
Yeah,
it's like Star Trek. Like, do warp drives really make sense? Does the hyperdrive in Star Wars make any sense? No, but we don't care. Because it's, number one, things are generally internally consistent within those worlds. And number two, you're actually engaged. What you're really
engaged
with is
you're talking about
the human beings involved.
The emotions.
You're describing two science fiction things where they're creating something out of nothing. Like, we don't have warp.
You're also
the concept of swallowing
a
fucking pill.
You can objectively see what it looks like,
and need to do some research before you write that detail.
I feel like they do like explain enough, like with warp drive and stuff, in most science fiction, where it's like, we don't have the technology, and like it's like theoretical, but like it's grounded in theoretical science and things like that. Well,
and it's also like you have one of two options in this situation, right? Option number one is the actual science is not super important. What's really important is something social, a point that you're trying to make, in which case like the characters, what's going on with them, what's going on like within the culture of the society that they're in and whatnot, like the points that you're trying to make about like income disparity, like whatever, like that is engaging enough that you don't really focus on the science, or you're actually trying to do like a Michael Crichton thing where you're trying to get really into the nitty gritty of the science of this like weird situation. And you try to hook people in on that, in which case it's crucial to get the little details about like how a pill actually falls down an esophagus, right? And Ben boldly does neither. There are two ways to write this well, and Ben just chooses not to do
it's
either.
It's like
them.
It's like describing like dropping a marble down a drain is what he's done here. We're gonna take a short break, but we're gonna end on a cliffhanger, right? So like the pill, very realistically, dropped into the stomach, and from the pill burst hundreds of them. New paragraph. I never thought I'd see them again. New paragraph, formatting error. Of all the things.
Oh.
And we're going to find out what they are as soon as we come back. Dun, dun, dun. Lost.
Welcome to the worst year ever. We'll get through it together or not. Everything is so dumb, 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 dumb.
And we're back.
Oh, the French.
All the French?
Orson Welles thing. It's fine.
It is an Orson Welles thing.
When last we left our hero, he was fearing something that burst out of pill that was swallowed by the whale accurately. And hundreds of them burst from the pill. And he never thought he'd see them again. Of all the things, new page. The formatting is...
fucked up again?
Fucked up still, and then it corrects itself a little later on the page. Great. Mechanical dust mites.
Oh.
The whale hates dust mites.
Why?
So he just
took some? Why do those exist? Mm-hmm. Why would he make those?
Make mechanical dust mites?
So here's the thing. First of all, you make mechanical dust mites, then you're going to use those to get the regular dust mites.
Yeah, why are there people?
Why the middleman?
But also... why are they mechanical dust mites? Wouldn't you just, like, nanobots?
Nanobots that kill dust mites.
Like, right, like, why are they mechanical dust mites? That's nonsense.
And, yeah.
It just occurs to me right now in this moment, this is different. Yeah, you didn't need the people there anyway, but they talk about the house being clean, so obviously there's, like, actual cleaning happening.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be, a huge detail of his life, like, when they're spraying down tables and shit. Sorry.
The fucking vacuums and stuff.
Going outside. If he's afraid of dust mites, he would not leave his fucking house, and his house would be, like, a sterilized, like, vacuum sealed place, right? What is this
anyway?
Hire hundreds of people and shrink them down and put them in your belly, whatever.
Okay,
point is the dust
mechanical
mites are here.
Dust mites.
Yeah, mechanical
here.
Dust mites. The whale hates dust mites, but he must hate me more. Formatting has been the problem is I don't know if the formatting is fixed or if it's wrong again, because the paragraphs are like indented twice sometimes. Sometimes they're indented
once. I don't
think
he knows how to format.
Sometimes it's three times. I don't know what the quote correct format is. So we're either back to normal or we're fucked up.
Ugh.
But the point is, they're searching for me. Now I realize what the viscous liquid was for. It was designed to hold me fast, to keep me from fighting back, and to cover everything that wasn't the halo. To shine a spotlight on me. Give the mites a target. I get it, man.
Why would the guy put shit in his body? Anyway.
There's too many sentences to say the liquid was to keep me inside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To shine a spotlight on me. Give the mites a target. One sentence, one comma, poorly written. They're crawling up the walls. I'd heard rumors about the next generation of antis. Looks like the rumors were right. So the rumors were that they were making robots instead of shrinking down people. There's no time to think. Thank God, because otherwise we'd have to analyze what's going on. There's no time to think. My instruments aren't growing, of course. My knife, my laser gun, they're tiny toys in my hands. Wait a second. So they shrunk him down. So they made him tiny laser guns.
Yeah.
They
didn't
shrink
them.
They shrunk
him
down.
You know what? I'll buy that, because as the whale, you don't want them to have access to big laser guns, whatever.
Big laser guns would be shrunken down.
No, yeah. But I mean, you maybe
when you come back, you don't want them to have.
If you could target exactly what returns, maybe you wouldn't want the weapons to get bigger with them, because you don't want them to be armed in your house because you're a paranoid billionaire. But also, that would seem to suggest that you could just shrink a tumor. If you have that kind of fine control.
Why, just from a writing perspective, why is this the first time we're learning about that? Is it?
Because it's...
first mistake was from a writing perspective.
The most important rule of writing is to leave people with nothing but questions the entire time of the story on.
I don't know anything about writing, so thank you.
The goal is to make the reader confused and bothered.
Well, then he's really knocking it out of the park.
Oh, yeah. It's good. We like it because it's so good. But the point is, the tools that he had, which were either shrunken down or built to be tiny. So, like, the nutrient packs, I guess, were also built to be tiny or something.
Yeah, are they doing, like, yeah, okay.
So, here. Or they're shrunk. I don't know. The point is, they're tiny
shrunk,
now.
But they're just not subject to being
They're not
shrunk.
Regrowing. They were shrunk, and now they're not going to be regrown. Or they were built tiny, and they're not part of this.
But
who
knows? Ben knows we don't need to know that, because as readers, we have no questions about this kind of thing.
Yeah, no, it's not important. We're concerned about the abortion allegory that's going on right now after halfway through the fucking short story.
Yep.
So his instruments are tiny. They're tiny toys in my hands. All I've got left is my hands. Ah, too many hands. And I can barely control them. I'm naked now, thanks to the growth. My clothes ripped
his
off
His clothes
of me as
don't
I grew.
Get bigger either. They're just unshrinking a naked man in this guy's living room. Oh, that's funny. That's so good stuff.
Well, right, because, like, why would you want these little things left in your home when the people regrow? That's filthy, too. Also, now you got a big naked man in your home. Yeah. Do you want that here, you little clean freak? Ugh. The mechanical mites are climbing.
But they don't get stuck in the viscous stuff. Okay.
I'm at the edge of my seat. The mechanical mites are climbing. I take a deep breath, grab the halo, and rip with all my strength. Rip what? Mm. What does he rip? Okay, the mechanical mites are climbing. I take a deep breath, grab the halo, and rip with all my strength. So he's ripping the halo off of the thing. Nothing happens. Formatting error. The liquid is holding the halo together as the mechanical mites climb. I can't get out. One of the mechanical mites is faster than the others. It's leading the pack.
Why? Wouldn't they be the same speed?
Natural selection and shit. You know, there's always an alpha robot.
The mite that was programmed to be faster than the other hundreds is leading the pack. Then sure. It's on
Why not
me.
Program them all super fast?
Yeah, I think you could make it, all of them faster than the
It seems
one
like they would
faster.
All be the same speed as robots,
yeah.
But...
yeah. But no,
I guess
what do I know? It's
a delicate pill. They crammed 100 of them in and then were like, one super mite dropped in there.
That's all we have left for. Ugh. We've got a dose and a half.
We can make one of these mites fast, but the budget ran out for the others.
Yeah, extended release on the others, but this one's right there with you.
All you really need is one fast one.
Then it's on me, tearing at the halo with its metal pincers. I scream, but there's no one to hear me. My arms feel heavy, overburdened, as though I'm swimming in molasses. The jaws close in. It seems like he wants the halo torn, right? Is he trying to get in the halo?
His motivations for his basic motivation, I guess, makes sense. But the motivations for the specific actions he's taking here, are pretty nonsensical.
Yeah, he's just not giving us, like, and I don't expect him to be like, my plan is to do this and this and this and this.
Yeah.
But he's not giving us enough information to, like, follow along.
Right.
There's like, also, you know, the thing that he never does in anything that he does, because he's not a writer, is, like, set up and payoff. So,
yes.
Again, a writer trying to make action feel meaningful, you would set up some aspect of how this guy responds in stressful situations. Mm-hmm. In the initial action sequence, and then there would be a payoff, either him learning a lesson and doing a different thing, or like this thing that he gets chided for winds up being what saves him, like literally anything to add something to this. But Ben has done nothing instead.
Are you suggesting that stories require some sort of like change? Like not just physical growth?
Like yeah, and even just beyond end, that, huh? That like there be a reward for reading through a story. Yeah.
Oh, I remember this from before.
Yeah.
It's back. Like, look, yeah, exactly. But alas, my arms feel heavy, overburdened, as though I'm swimming in molasses. The jaws close in. And I remember Phillips. Okay. I remember his eyes bugging out as the mites closed in on him. I remember the blood pouring from the stump of his leg and those eyes rolling back in their sockets. Those eyes. Most of all, I remember the greedy crunching noises from the vile mouths of those mites.
The real mites eat humans?
Yeah. Why?
Real mites eat humans.
Are they? Yeah. The mites, real mites eat humans, and I guess the mechanical ones.
And like mites are able to like crunch, even if they are tiny bones.
Yeah, because it doesn't seem like what mites eat actually has anything at all to do with people.
It seems like
it's like...
Like skin flakes, but not organs and bones and not like moving, living things.
That's the thing about dust mites. They do not eat people. Blood. Or like also, living, like it's like...
Yeah,
it's,
they're
it's
not
dead
hunters.
Skin.
Or bones.
It's like fiber and like fibers from like cotton and stuff.
Yeah,
they're like, they don't do this.
They're not even really scavengers because they have no way of even knowing that the stuff they're eating was ever part of a living creature. They certainly don't eat corpses. They're like... They just kind of, they're like those bottom feeding fish.
Yeah,
like,
it's what's there. And what's there is skin flakes, dead skin flakes, and like
And we're not
fibers.
Like existing in a world where there are monsters.
No.
It's just a rich guy with a weird phobia and a whole bunch of wrong information.
Yeah.
Right.
To the extent that like mites have minds, they don't really... hunt. I mean, they don't have like that capacity. I would doubt that the capacity to like fight.
Right.
That's
or like
what I mean. That's what's been like.
On, like
And
like tear a person apart. That's not.
They don't. I don't think they engage in collective behavior. Not a mite expert, but I don't think so.
I can't imagine that they do. Anywho, apparently these mites crave bone.
Yeah, they crave bone and blood
and guts
and attack.
Stuff.
And like it would be. Maybe he's referring to like another incident with mechanical mites, but he didn't say mechanical mites. He said mites.
Yeah,
and they've been pretty vicious this whole time.
That hunt dust mites, but okay,
but the story's about dust mites.
Yeah, I think
like
it is.
He specifically said like the whale is afraid of dust mites. Like that's
tell you
written
what
down.
We really shouldn't need to be questioning and wondering this much about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like the premise is maybe a bad one.
Maybe this one's whack. Yeah.
Maybe it's a whack premise. But he's remembering the mites tearing his friend apart and drinking on his blood. And that's what the dust mites did. And I wait. The pincers rip, tear at the halo. I wait. New formatting error. The first mechanical mite breaks through. The fastest one, probably. I hold my breath as the poisonous air comes flowing through, then kick as hard as I can at the mite. It's just enough. The mite loses its footing, plummets down to the bottom of the stomach, is sucked out of sight. Ooh, bad sentence.
So that was the fastest one?
I assume so. It got there the fastest. I have to read this again real quick. It's just enough. Dash. The mite loses its footing, comma, plummets down to the bottom of the stomach, comma, is sucked out of sight. I'm just going to pause on my face real quick for our listeners.
Yeah,
if you can see him right now.
Okay, and I climb. I leap through the hole in the halo, grab the stomach lining, and I thought you couldn't because of the liquid on the walls, all right, and climb toward what looks like a closed ring above me. I have to get out. I have to get the hell out now. It takes me a second to realize that the stomach acid is burning away layers of skin. I'd scream, but I need the air. Instead, I grit my teeth, breaking a molar as my shoulder muscle is exposed. The mites are gaining. The liquid is gluing me to the walls, too, like a fly stuck in a web just above me.
I don't think that's how mites work either, but okay. this is funny. Do we get any idea of what state this is occurring in, Cody, or city? Is that does that mention
I
it
don't
all?
Think I don't think so.
I mean that's
I mean,
fine.
My guess is like California.
I did about a second and a half of Googling, and it's funny because it's actually a matter of scientific curiosity that the American West has almost no dust mites. They're bafflingly lacking in the West. There's like none in the Midwest or the Mountain West, and the West Coast has some, but they're like a third as many as on the East Coast.
Yeah.
So obviously there's plenty of places in the U.S. where there would be dust mites, but it's just funny that it's actually a matter of scientific curiosity how few there are in the area that Ben lives in and is probably broadly writing about.
Exactly. We assume, because also it's like abortion and libs and like all this kind of
and
stuff.
Again,
California!
if you're doing like the, again, Michael Crichton kind of thing where you're trying to make it seem like hard science fiction, you might actually have a character who's like talking about dust mites and explaining the threat, like addressing, you know, they weirdly enough, they don't live in this area that, or they've become more common as people have like sealed up their houses more. And because the, because that is a thing, there were almost no dust mites anywhere in North America until we started doing more like climate control stuff that apparently like made it an easier place for them to propagate. And so like, you know, ironically, if he wasn't such like a neat freak, there would be less mites in his house, or like it, literally
you
anything.
Know so to, much about mites, Robert. How do you know
Katie,
so much about mites?
I learned all of this 30 seconds before I started reading it. That's how little research it took to find a Scientific American article that made it all very clear. And that, again, I'm not talking about Ben should have done tens of hours of research. If he had dedicated an hour to reading about mites before this, he could have made this like. It's not hard.
Like, it is baffling. It is baffling. Mm-hmm. But he never published it. There is a reason.
Oh, he published it, but he unpublished it.
Oh, right.
Yeah, it is no longer available on Goodreads or anywhere else. But this beautiful podcast
just
we have.
Delete.
This beautiful podcast is the only way place to find it. It's so funny.
How much time? We got to wrap up soon.
We'll wrap it up soon. Mm-hmm. One other option, though, in this dust mite scenario. Let's say it's in like the West and like, oh, there actually aren't a lot of dust mites. Mm-hmm. That maybe speaks to the whale's character. Like, even though there aren't a lot of mites, he's still obsessed with them and hiring all these people. Like he's that far gone or whatever. A lot of options there from a good 20-second Google. Mm-hmm. But the point is he didn't Google what an esophagus does. So why would he Google what dust mites do? Just above me is the ring of the esophagus. Spelled it right. So, hell yeah.
There you go. Good work.
Hand over hand, I grab. My legs hang free. What do you grab the ring?
What is he grabbing onto?
The ring of the esophagus, I guess.
Mm-hmm, sure. That's
my
leg.
It's like a.
Right. Because I forgot that the newer models have footholds.
Mm-hmm, yeah, you gotta get that grip. Mm-hmm.
Lots of rungs.
Sure.
He can't use his tiny tools anymore, so he's got to use his hands, his fingies.
Yeah. I'm picturing it like Die Hard. Where he's somehow like using and again, the strap of the laser to like call himself up.
You could have had him need to climb or fail to climb earlier if he'd had to do a climb to like save his buddy and like and that's why his buddy had died. Again, that would be a little bit of it's like you brought up Die Hard. We have John McClane take his shoes off at the start. It's not really a big deal for a while. And then the glass gets shot out. And it's not even doesn't really reveal anything about John's character. It's not like a hero's journey thing. It just actually makes things a little more interesting because you've set up and paid off a thing.
Exactly.
And I've been thinking about, I mean, in general, I think about a Howard. We're talking about the descriptions of like, oh, it's just hard to follow what exactly it is that he's doing in the stomach. Well, when I read Die Hard, that was one thing. These action sequences were very meticulously described. So there wasn't, it's not a sci-fi, but there's no room for, misunderstanding what's happening.
There's no room for misunderstanding what's happening, and there's not a single gunshot in that movie that like doesn't advance the story and or mean something. Like every time people do an action, it's meaningful, which is what you'll find in every good action movie, right?
Yeah.
Like that there's stuff doesn't happen that doesn't need to happen, advance the story or increase your understanding of a character. Because that's a good storytelling. And it's the same
it's
with fiction.
The meaning of action. Like.
Yeah. You don't just have an action scene to have an action scene. You have an action scene because it reveals something about the character or the world. It advances your understanding in some way that leads you to staying engaged with the story. The action exists to make the story interesting. The action doesn't exist because people want to read about folks shooting dust mites with lasers. Because no one does. We might care about characters who are doing that, but nobody cares about fighting dust mites with lasers.
I feel like maybe Ben does. I feel like maybe he absorbs art differently than other people.
Mm-hmm. It's like if you had said to me, "Hey, do you want to watch a movie about a cop fighting terrorists in a skyscraper?" I would say probably not. That sounds boring. But I like Die Hard because, again, from the very beginning, you're engaged with these characters. It's not about the fact that they're having gunfights. Mm-hmm. It's about the fact that John McClane is an engaging character. Hans Gruber is a deeply engaging villain, and I care about them, and the action makes me understand them better, and I'm engaged in the action because I'm engaged in them, and that's how a story is told.
Mm.
We need to find a good stopping spot.
Yeah, that's. I think that's a good stopping point.
That's a good stopping spot?
Yeah.
Guys,
yeah.
We just get even more
Terminator.
Of this,
all right.
This
Terminator.
Treasure.
There's literally every piece of fiction that has ever been influential works the same way, which is that you don't do a thing unless it matters to the story. Because otherwise it's boring.
Yeah.
Like fucking James Cameron is great at this because like as silly as shit happens.
Say
like,
True Lies, like that's
True Lies, right?
Example.
Like there's never even in fucking as many critiques as there are of like Avatar or whatever. Shit doesn't happen if it doesn't reveal things about the characters or the world. Action doesn't happen. Gunfights don't happen because they're pointless. Otherwise, people don't care about gunfights. People care about characters and people care about like worlds.
They care about characters in gunfights.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
And the choices
and as
they
a result,
make within those gunfights.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
We just don't give a shit otherwise.
But now we
yeah.
have this guy hanging from an esophagus, and he's remembering some other thing mm-hmm. of his friend in a featureless place. I have no idea where his friend Phillips got attacked.
Yeah.
It's just like,
no.
In like some void, they're like, he's like being hounded by like these dust mites. Which
by yeah. bloodthirsty and, dust mites.
Again, like if you were trying to do this competently, that would have been the start of the story. Phillips mm-hmm. dying. And
yep.
like maybe
absolutely.
This guy fails and,
no
and whatnot.
No question.
You know? But it's just amazing. It's like this is the thing where, like, you know, people wonder why, as a general rule, like, the Star Wars prequels were, like, less beloved than the originals. There's a number of reasons. One of them is that, like, there's a lot of action, particularly in the second and third, where it's like, oh, there's a billion guys having sword fights, and I don't know who most of these people mm-hmm. are. And when you find people who actually do care about and really like those movies, it tends to be because they've read all of the books, and so they know who those characters are. And even though it's not on screen, and you can argue that's bad filmmaking, they're engaged because those characters have been built up elsewhere, and so that's why they care. But if you look at like what made the original successful, like a lightsaber doesn't get fucking pulled unless something that deeply matters to a character is happening.
Yeah.
They don't just pull lightsabers because lightsabers are cool in the first three movies.
I think like
and that's
four
part of why
times.
It's iconic.
You
yeah,
see a lightsaber
very
like four
rarely
times in that movie.
And so it's always engaging when a fucking lightsaber gets pulled. Mm-hmm. It's why they're iconic is because at least at the start, you didn't see those things unless something that you gave a shit about was
yeah.
going down.
Here,
you know?
Here's what a lightsaber is. I'm telling you about your dad. Mm-hmm. Here's me protecting you in this bar. Here's how a lightsaber mm-hmm. works and what it does. Here's me training you with a lightsaber. Here's like the possibility of the world I'm exposing you to. Here's
and,
the
and again,
end
this
when
is
I'm
the...
fighting the villain with a lightsaber. That's it.
And it's a great mark of like the value of good editing in a story because George Lucas clearly does not understand that as well as his editor in the first three movies, which was his ex-wife, understood that. Because I think there would probably have been a lot more lightsabers, but you don't like the especially in that first movie, if you actually look at when like the lightsabers show up the minimum amount of time necessary for the action to happen. It's never
so cool.
gratuitous.
Why
that's why they're so cool, right? Yeah. Like, it's the same thing with Jaws, right? The less you see the shark, the more you're engaged
it's
the
only
more tension
reason
there
Boba
is.
Fett
yeah.
was a beloved
yeah.
character. You got, like,
yeah.
5 minutes of screen time in the entire trilogy. You die like a punk, but
yeah.
you're cool looking while you do it, and that's it.
You're cool looking, and there's that one line, no disintegrations,
yeah.
where it's like your mind gets kind of opened up, and you're like, oh, I wonder what, like, this guy's whole story is, and, like... You get a couple of scenes with him that make it clear that he's good at, like, tracking people. And so, folks, again, it's not about showing or telling too much. You actually don't ever want to do that. It's important to, like, especially in science fiction, there's a lot of value in just kind of dropping things, dropping, mm-hmm. like, references to things that I wonder what that was about. I wonder what that battle was. I wonder what that piece of, like... You don't need to know everything. You need to know enough that your imagination takes over, right? Mm-hmm. You got to like prime the pump. You got to put a little fuel in to jumpstart the generator that gets you engaged in the world. And every piece of science fiction that has spawned a fucking empire was great at that, you know? Dune's great at that.
Yeah.
Star Wars, great at that. Star Trek, great at that.
Battlestar's great at that.
Battlestar's great at that. Every piece of science fiction that anyone has cared about, even if it later turns into like we have to explain every single thing, at the beginning, it's all about getting you to wonder, you know? Ben is a bad writer.
Ben is a bad writer. I am excited to keep hearing the story. Yeah. I have to go.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah. All right. All right.
Protagonist gets back to Amy. The one thing I know about the main guy is he likes Amy.
Who also is not a character.
No.
Oh, God, again, no. It's a name.
Another place you might have opened this is like him and Amy having a fight, and then like he leaves, and his like buddy who later dies picks him up in the car, and they talk about why they're doing it, and then you cut from that to his buddy dying, or right after his buddy died, whatever. There's a number of ways that this could have been a story, but it's not.
But other than just the absolute laziest way.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys, we will be back next week.
And we can't wait to find out how it ends.
Yeah. Next
with
week.
More of this.
Oh, fun. Bye. All right.
Bye. Bye.
Everything's so dumb, and it's gonna get dumber.
Great.
I tried.
Yes.
Daniel?
Lovely.
Worst Year Ever is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.